Welcome to Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host Gary LaRood. In this episode, we're going to take a look at our March Cable and Connector Supplement. The cover feature is great, written by authors from State University in New York in New Platts and University of Regina in Canada. And they collaborated to look at impedance matching methods for additively manufactured SMA to waveguide connections. So they designed a single unit that you can 3D print the whole transition so you avoid discontinuities of connectors. So I think it's a really innovative thing. They did it at X-band. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see if they can apply it to other frequencies and other components.
Yeah, I wonder how high they can do it.
Yeah, you know I love 3D printing.
We've Absolutely.
Featured everything from 3D printed PCBs to 3D printed antennas. So it's a great technology. I don't think it's quite ready for high volume applications, but it's great for high performance space type applications and other things like that.
Yeah, prototypes.
So what do we have for technical features?
Well, we have three other technical features from Pasternak. They take a look at the infrastructure interconnect market, particularly with the evolution of 4G to 5G and new architectures in 5G. So speaking of interconnects, from Advantest, we have a 1.85 millimeter coax interconnect blind mate for an automatic test equipment application. The requirements for this is it has to go up to 70 gigahertz and survive 20,000 insertions. And so they talk about the design and the validation of it, and actually the lifetime exceeded 40,000
wow.
insertions. So quite impressive. And then rounding out the articles, we have an application note from Cadence. It's a workflow on EM analysis for rigid flex printed circuit boards.
So turning to the product feature, we had one of those, and that was for test port cable assemblies that reduce uncertainty and increase confidence from Mari Microwave. And Mari has used a color coding mechanism, so it's easy to match up the cable with the connector. And I'm really wondering why everyone doesn't use that. It just makes sense, and I think it's a standard. But I think they're the only ones I've really seen, you know, widely using it.
Right, exactly.
So how about a tech brief we had?
Well, we had one tech brief from Megaphase. They have an interesting space-qualified semi-rigid cable assembly that operates up to 90 gigahertz. So as space systems are going higher in frequency, they've got it covered.
Yeah, we really are covering high-frequency applications here for almost everything in the articles.
Exactly.
So turning to the news, big news out of China. They indicated that they're going to accelerate their 6G research efforts and try to deploy something by 2025. Mm. That's only 4 years from now.
Wow, amazing.
All the other countries are targeting like 2030 timeframe loosely. So it'll be very interesting to see if they're able to accomplish this. But, you know, they really do put the resources and money into the things that they think are key technologies for success. AI, 5G, 6G, quantum computing, and semiconductor technology. And that's kind of overflowing to the U.S. They're really trying to get a domestic supply of their own semiconductor sources. In the U.S. now, Intel announced they'll be building a couple of very large fabs
right.
for domestic use to make sure we have an insured supply of semiconductor technology. Because right now, everyone pretty much relies on the two Asian foundries that are really the only two big open foundries around the world.
Correct.
So you were the one, I think, who posted that article first.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of emphasis now on strengthening the U.S. supply base, given some of the things that we saw with COVID, where supply chains were interrupted, not so much in the semiconductor side, but in other industries.
So also in the news, the Global Certification Forum reported their industry results for 2020, and they certified 715 5G device models from 75 manufacturers. So you can't say you can't get a 5G device at this point. Whether you can get a network connection may be a little questionable, depending on where you live.
True.
So speaking of cellular infrastructure, I was able to talk with Tim Kirstein. He's a product marketing manager at Skyworks Solutions about their high-power fail-safe switch for TDD systems. It's a component I didn't really know much about, so it was very interesting to talk to him. Let's take a look at a clip from that now.
So Tim, what is the importance of the high-power fail-safe switches in the cellular infrastructure market, and what specific architectures are they used in?
Yeah, so high-power fail-safe switches are very important for TDD systems, including macro and massive MIMO. The reason they're important is because if some unexpected event occurs in the system, like unplugging the antenna while the power is still on, that would destroy the receiver if you didn't have a fail-safe switch. So the alternative really is, if you have the fail-safe switch, then such an event wouldn't cause any damage at all, and you could just continue to use the receiver. On the other hand, you kind of compare the two. the cost of a switch, which is relatively small compared to the cost of a brand new macro base station receiver, a radio, and the installation costs, there's really no comparison. Other kinds of macro stations, FDD, these kind of switches are not required at FDD, simply because the receive frequency and the transmit frequency are at two different frequencies, right? So they use a duplexer, and the duplexer is the thing that nullifies that. So it's really only required in a TDD system.
So it's very interesting to talk to Tim. He's the infrastructure marketing manager. So I hope to have him back on other episodes to talk about different parts of the block diagram and how Skyworks is innovating in each of those areas.
Yeah, it should be really interesting.
So how about you for news?
So for news, the UK completed their second 5G auction. They raised about £1.4 billion for about 200 megahertz of spectrum at 3.7 gigahertz and 700 megahertz. And then from OneWeb, they launched another 36 satellites. So now their constellation is up to 146.
Wow.
They have secured their funding, as you know, so they're expecting to do something in the range of 8 to 10 launches this year. And because of that and the number of satellites, they will start service for the northern latitudes sometime in the fall, according to what they've said. And then one final thing. It's not every day that an RF microwave engineer gets featured in the Wall Street Journal. And so I wanted to highlight that our colleague and friend Earl Lum was featured in the Wall Street Journal talking about his base station teardown business, which he operates out of his garage. And I kept thinking, can you imagine going to a garage sale at Earl Lum's house?
Yeah, that was a great picture they had of him.
Yeah, exactly.
So turning to events, IMS 2021 announced that if you get a registration by June 4th and attend in person, you get free access to the complete virtual event, which starts 2 weeks later.
Nice.
So we always complain that we go there and we can't get to all the sessions. There's just too many. But this year, we actually will be able to accomplish that. You can go there in person, and then the ones that you missed, you can watch online in the virtual event.
Yeah, nice.
And the virtual event will also have a full exhibition, and they will also be having exhibitor workshops or presentations to learn about products. So I think the virtual event, you know, if everybody logs in and looks around, really could be very successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to getting to Atlanta. I think it's going to be a very memorable event. I think it's going to be an emotional event, almost like springtime after a very long, dark winter. So I'm looking forward to it.
Feels like a 10-year reunion.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're also want to let everybody know we're wrapping up the presentations for our EDICon online event, which will be every Wednesday in August. And we still have a few sponsorship opportunities for presentations. And I think it's a great way to get your message out. And given the number of registrants that we've had historically, it's a great way to generate leads. So that wraps up this episode of Frequency Matters. We want to thank you for watching, and we want to thank our sponsor this time, Skyworks Solutions. They are a high-performance analog semiconductor company with a mission to connect everyone and everything at all times. Thanks for watching, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.